Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show.
A podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Okay, so today's topic is iron. We'll talk about iron today. But I wanted to ask you, what are your goals for this year when it comes to training?
You know, my main goal is to build back up my running after my broken foot. I'd like to get back up to some good volume.
Yeah. Are you going to do any races?
I'm signed up for a few things. I had initially signed up, I would like to do another 50K at some point, like on a trail. Not technical trail, just like the crunched, like, just, you know.
Gravelly
kind stuff. Yeah. I'm a klutz for the stuff that's technical. But I'd initially signed up for the 50K at Mid-South in March, and then I broke my foot. So I'm down to the half marathon there in March, which is just going to be on kind of a crunched gravel. I think it'll be really pretty, really hilly. They usually have some interesting weather. And so I'm just hoping that I can, you know, build to that and be strong enough to finish it strong, not really race it. But that would be a delightful, you know, launch back into running, and then hopefully I can build from there.
Yeah.
What about you?
I am going to stick with my consistency. I built that up at the end of, you know, in 2024. So I want to stick with that, the consistency with running.
Yeah.
And continuing to build strength. So that was the other thing I added last year was, you know, lifting with some heavier weights. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't have any race goals yet still, but I do want to in considering like an aging body, that's what I am going for, like longevity and strength and all like the healthy part and just being super healthy, continuing with my protein and all of that stuff. So stuff that I figured out in 2024, I want to continue with and with the consistency with that. And yeah, we'll see if I'll break out and do any sort of race. I can sign up last minute for some of that stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know, if I'm feeling good. So I would like to pull off a half marathon this year, but again, I'm not signing up for anything yet. It's going to be like, I'm strong and I feel good and I'm going to do it safely. Let's do it kind of thing. So that's what's going on over here.
Perfect.
All right, let's talk about iron. So first of all, why is iron important? Most of endurance athletes know that it helps with delivery of oxygen. It's critical for delivery of oxygen to the muscles. Most people know that. It's important for muscle function, energy production, and cognitive function, like your brain working. So it's got a lot of things it's responsible for. But the impact on endurance athletes when we have an iron deficiency, there's a list. So I'm going to go over that. Yeah.
Well, I feel like I don't know. I feel like people know that iron helps deliver oxygen to muscles, but explain that a little bit more. Like when you have your blood drawn and they're testing, they test different like sort of things to let you know how your body is, how much iron your body has, how your body's storing iron and that kind of stuff. And so the delivery, it helps like carry in your bloodstream, the iron is part of what helps carry oxygen to the working muscles.
Correct.
Just to make that clear to people.
Yeah, correct. And so, and we'll get into like what should be tested and when and all that. But and without getting too technical about things carrying things over here. But yes, it is important. Yes, exactly what you just said. And you know, I have a personal experience with iron deficiency, and it just is across the board. My whole life I've been iron deficient, and nobody knows why. They've done a gazillion tests, you know, why does she have this? You know, my grandmother died of a very rare disease called aplastic anemia, where she actually did not produce any at all. That caused her to need blood transfusions in the 80s in San Francisco. So she actually died of HIV. Horrible, right? Because they just didn't know then. And so, I don't have her condition.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's just low iron all the time. And I've learned over the years what to do for that. But I didn't realize or even think about, which is very strange because you would think I would realize this, its impact on my sport. because it was just kind of like always there, and I just dealt with it, and I did my sport, and it was just like whatever compensations I had to do it, I did it. Yeah. But I learned a little bit more in this research too. So it's interesting, but the impacts, and it has to do with the impacts on endurance athletes. So when you are iron deficient, and we'll go over like why some people would be iron deficient besides having like a disease process, right? We'll go over that. But just to preview for you guys, the kind of the sort of the symptoms of iron deficiency and what it causes an endurance athlete is decreased energy, decreased work capacity, so your ability to swim, bike, run, suppressed training adaptation, so meaning all the training and work you're doing, you don't adapt as well to all that training. It impacts recovery, the ability to recover. And if you've listened to any of our podcasts, what do we talk about here? You know, fatigue is a symptom, you know, and it's kind of that chronic sort of fatigue, and an increased susceptibility to infection. So all of those things can be caused by that iron deficiency. Now, other things can cause those symptoms as well. So just because you're feeling these things, you know, doesn't mean, oh, I've got an iron deficiency, but it's something to think about and question. And we'll talk about that a little bit here. Now, how likely is it that an endurance athlete will have an iron deficiency? The percentage rates, 15 to 35% of females have iron deficiency as an endurance athlete, and 3 to 11% of males. Now, there's a huge gender gap in research, so the percentages could actually be higher. There's a gender gap. So female athlete, endurance athlete research is limited, and we need more. So that's just, I'm throwing out some figures there, but it's not, you know, hard and true. So let's talk about why endurance athletes might be susceptible to a decrease in iron. Because again, we're not talking about a disease process of low iron. We're talking about why that sport might cause that in you. There's an increase in oxygen demand. So we need, you know, the red blood cells working. We need them carrying that oxygen. We're demanding more as endurance athletes. So if we don't have enough, we need more. We also lose iron in sweat, up to 70% more than a sedentary person. So you're not just losing the salt in the sweat, you're also losing iron, which I did not know. So that's interesting. Intense, long endurance, weight-bearing events. So less about the swimming and the biking with this, more about the running, causing a loss of blood. Now, that doesn't mean it's seeping out of you and pouring out of you, but it is being eliminated more in your urine and your intestinal tract. So it's not like, oh, an emergency, you know, gastrointestinal bleed is occurring, but you are losing blood in those areas with the weight-bearing, pounding, long endurance events. Again, newsflash to me, I did not know that. Now, I've heard of this next one, and I think you might have as well. I'm going to say the actual word because I think it's fun to say. It's foot strike hemolysis, meaning your red blood cells are damaged with the impact of the foot hitting the ground. So we have some blood loss there. Now, it's not, again, it's not, you're not seeping and losing and needing a blood transfusion, okay? So I don't want people freaking out like, ah, but when you add up all the different ways that you're, you know, losing some blood and needing more with the sport, you can see how some people might be susceptible to having decreased iron. The other thing is, and again, this was new to me, exercise-induced inflammation, which we've talked about, which is normal. We are straining our bodies on purpose with training, right? And so that process creates some inflammation, normal inflammation, but that also decreases our ability to absorb iron. So the parameter in the research that I read was that it decreases the ability your body's ability to absorb iron for 3 to 6 hours after exercise. Okay, so that will come, that's an important number or important piece of information when you are, you know, talking about getting iron from nutrition. So we'll get back to that in a minute. But you can see here how there's several different ways that an endurance athlete might be susceptible to some decreased iron. Okay, so what are the other factors? Because here I think is where it gets really interesting. And a lot of women, I think, are more familiar with this because when you're menstruating, you are, you know, losing more blood at that time, and you can tend to be iron deficient at that time. So a menstruating female, you know, during high intensity exercise and training can have some episodes of iron deficiency or some periods of time during training when you're iron deficient. What I didn't realize is that altitude is a huge factor. So, and you kind of know that, like, oh, you know, there's the training effects, you go there on purpose to train. But in the case of already being iron deficient, you can't acclimate to altitude. It's impossible. And this was a newsflash to me because I thought, well, all my difficulties at altitude may have little to do with what doctors were telling me was the cause. And it actually had to do with the fact that I'm anemic. So that was interesting. So another impact is restricted food intake. So we have some people who are energy deficient, and I'm not talking about the you know, the syndrome one yet, but we will get to that. But this is just not getting enough, you know, because you're failing to properly give yourself energy during some of these training. I'm guilty of it. It's like, oh, especially during my half Ironman training, I was like, I couldn't eat enough, you know, to support the training. So that was also going to impact and lead to more iron deficiency. So then the other factor that I want to mention here, and I'm a little iffy about it because, again, there wasn't just a ton in the research to help explain this to me, but menopause. So many of our athletes, Liz, we're training some people that are indefinitely in peri or menopause states. It gets tricky here because low estrogen can lead to increased levels of iron. It's like it has something to do with less absorption, but increased levels of iron in the blood. And the potential for iron toxicity if you're not careful. So if you're like trying to supplement with iron, maybe you used to take iron because you needed to take iron. Or so if you are experiencing perimenopause or menopause, we're going to talk about having blood draws and things. But definitely talk to your doctor about where you are in that phase of your life and how that might be impacting your training and how that might be impacting your iron. Okay. So, maybe that streamlines us right into monitoring iron levels and how we do that. First of all, I want to say that this is something to talk to your doctor about. And some doctors aren't really on top of the research or really understand endurance sport and how that's impacting it. And they might be looking at just numbers for just regular sedentary individuals or regular just active individuals, but not endurance athletes. So I think it's good to find out if your doctor is, you know, aware of that. And if they're not, if they're willing to learn more for you, and if not, then finding a doctor who is, you know, more aware of that. There's also some certified sports nutritionists who are really on top of that and are able to order the appropriate blood work and help with that. But it's suggested that, you know, we all have annual screenings and blood tests for your iron levels. It should just be a part of a panel that you're doing as an athlete. If you are a female with a past history of anemia, it's suggested that you check it 2 times per year to see kind of where you are. And then for those of us in high training intensity volume situations, we're doing, you know, two Ironmans a year or two half Ironmans or lots of races, lots of training. We've talked about the appropriate recovery times and everything, but you're pretty much consistently, aside from those recovery periods, you're consistently training. Then it is recommended that you check it quarterly. And I'll give you a link to the research articles that I've read that in the show notes that have provided this information. The other times to consider, there's several other considerations where you should check quarterly for your iron levels. And that's if you are somebody who has irregular periods or amenorrhea, which is no period. And that's not due to menopause, that's due to training. So younger, not having a period or irregular periods, check quarterly for iron levels. An unexplained loss of performance. That is, you're working with your coach and you're like, you know what? I can't really explain why you're getting adequate recovery. You're doing all the right things. It looks like here on paper, you know, let's check iron levels.
Do you want me to share a story about that?
Oh yeah. Chime in.
I mean, I've definitely had athletes like that had talked about, you know, a lot of fatigue and all of like some of the symptoms that you had, had mentioned before. And I've had low iron before and then I supplemented and it came back up, but maybe like, I don't know, it was probably a year and a half ago. I know my heart rates like the back of my hand and I know what my paces are for my heart rates and I can feel it. And I'm dialed into that. And all of a sudden, like, my pace dropped a minute per mile.
Slower. Yeah.
For the same heart rate. And it just wasn't going away. And it was just like, I didn't, and finally I was like, maybe I should check my iron. And sure enough,
that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So another thing to be careful of is we have some, there's just a lot of vegetarians and vegans that are endurance athletes and they do quite well. But it is recommended because it is so much more difficult to get sources of iron, especially that what's called hemiiron, which comes from meat sources. It can be very challenging. And so it is recommended to check quarterly, especially I think if you're symptomatic, you know, if you're doing a late and you're doing great and going along, you know, okay, fine. But if you are having some challenges with it, that's recommended to check your iron levels quarterly. And then also a history of relative energy deficiency syndrome. That's that REDS. We've talked about it on and off on our podcast in the past. But if you've been diagnosed with that, that is quarterly, absolutely checking. Okay, so what should be checked? It's like, well, you know, hopefully your doctor knows what should be checked, but they don't all know.
Well, and they don't always, sometimes you have to ask because you can get like a iron.
A regular panel.
Right. Yes. And it doesn't include all of the things that you kind of need to know if iron deficiency is affecting you or not. Like it can look normal. And if they dive into the numbers a bit more,
if they dive into the numbers and if they take the right tests at the right time. So that's what I'm going to tell you next is this is what was recommended from this study. Serum ferritin, and we're going to put this in the show notes because it's like, well, how do you spell that, right? So we'll put this in the show notes so you guys can look back and see what these look like. Hemoglobin, transferrin saturation, don't even make me go into it. Yeah. And CRP, which is an inflammatory marker. And it's like, well, don't just take CRP. Don't just take hemoglobin. It's looking at all of the numbers and making sense of them and what's going on there. So, again, I'll include a table in the show notes because it also includes the ranges of where those should fall as an endurance athlete, which is really important, not just the tests themselves.
Well, and I do feel like the ranges are different for endurance athletes.
It is.
And, yeah, they're, you know, people also have their own baseline. So, you know, it's again, I feel like there are data points that you put in the context of yourself and talk to your doctor about them.
Yes. And this is, again, too, if you're having difficulty, a certified sports nutritionist is so helpful. Like, that's beyond my expertise here. I can tell you, you know, here's what a problem could be for you. The solution, you need to talk to somebody. And they're actually really good at ordering the tests and looking at those numbers, too. So your doctor takes them and just, you know, hey, they're great. You know, you can take it to a certified sports nutritionist and talk to them about, hey, what do you think about these numbers and me as an athlete and what I'm doing. And here's some interesting tidbits here, because when you're testing, you want it to be a bit standardized here. And so to standardize, you want to have the blood tests taken in the morning. Our iron levels and ability to absorb all that is kind of different through the day. So in the morning, 12 to 24 hours after rest from exercise. You don't want to have just, you know, ran 10 miles that morning and then go in for your blood work. Not when you're sick or injured, because the CRP, the inflammatory markers, are going to change, and that's going to manipulate the data and how to read that data. And then also not during menstruation, because that's going to also affect your iron levels. Of course, they're going to be lower then, and you want more of a number that's kind of indicative of overall how you're doing during this like quarter or year or twice.
Yearly. Is that a fasted test? I'm trying to remember. I've had it tested, and I feel like I normally fast, but I don't know if you need
I don't know that this one is fasted, but it might not hurt to do that. But it didn't say anything about, you know, needing to fast for that. Okay. That's usually like the glucose levels and stuff. There are some tests that need to be fast. And you could also ask your doctor and your sports nutritionist too, whoever is ordering those for you. Okay, so what should we be taking in as iron? Should we be taking iron supplements? The answer is probably not. Iron can be toxic. And so taking too much iron is not good. It could cause a whole slew of things. So you don't want to be supplementing with iron unless you have low levels and a doctor has determined that you need those supplements, how much to be taking for how long. So let's just talk about where we can get iron from nutrition, maybe how much we should be taking in, you know, daily. The daily recommendation for an endurance athlete is 11 milligrams per day for men and 16 milligrams a day for adult women before menopause. I didn't get the number for after menopause. I don't know what that is. Let us know if you find out what that is. I'm going to be talking to Dr. Carrie Grounds about that at my next appointment or my next run with her. But so maybe we'll have a little update in our next podcast on that one. But the best way for us to get in most minerals and all the things that our body needs is through nutrition. So the recommendation here is to have foods and meals that are rich in iron and to take that in greater than 30 minutes after exercise. Because if you remember earlier, we have a decreased absorption of iron for 3 to 6 hours after exercise. So waiting and not trying to take that in or being reliant on a meal shortly after exercise. And I guess in the AM, in the morning is what it's suggesting. I'm going to have difficulty with that. Are you? What do you do?
Well, no, but I feel like coffee interrupts the absorption of...
It does. So and it's not drinker. The only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, it's like, well, guess what? I'm not going to take it in the morning. I'm going to, for my supplements that I have to take.
I take it at night.
Yeah. I'm going to go against that because I'm not giving up my coffee and it's going to interfere. So it's a choice there. Let's talk about the nutritional sources of iron, and then we'll talk about the things that impact your ability to absorb that you maybe not want to take with your iron. So animal sources of iron. Most of us are familiar with that. Those sources are better absorbed than from plants. But plant iron absorption is boosted when you ingest with vitamin C and carotenoids. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. What are carotenoids? Carrots, pumpkins, green leaves, tomatoes. So if you're vegan and, you know, you're wanting to take in sources of iron, why not take it with some of these other, you know, tomatoes and leafy green vegetables, which you're probably doing. and food that is, this was interesting to me, newsflash, food that is cooked or fermented, better iron. You know, it's better retrieval of iron. Your body can retrieve it better. Here are the food items that interfere with absorption of iron. It's long and it's depressing. Dairy, chocolate, coffee, as you mentioned, herbal teas and wine, and whole grains and nuts. That was surprising to me. Whole grains and nuts. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have whole grains with your iron meal. Of course, we are all, as endurance athletes, in needs of carbohydrates. So we're not going to cut that out. We need it. But if we can have that with tomatoes, if we can have that with green leaves, so we're going to have to compensate a little bit for having that. So it's not don't eat it, you know. Do eat it. Just be mindful that, you know, you need to have a better way to absorb that iron if you're eating that with your iron. Okay. That's a lot of information. I think I covered everything on my little list. In what I've just laid out here, do questions come to mind? Can you think of what our athletes might be out there scratching their head like, what the heck? No? Yeah?
I mean, not really. Yeah, I feel like this is sort of a good place to start.
Yeah. So you guys, I guess the recap here or the take-home message here is that iron deficiency with endurance athletes is a thing, and to be aware of it and monitor it for yourself. And know that it can impact your performance.
Thanks so much for listening. And remember,
we are in this together.
Until next time.